How many people have your Bible today? If you do, please stand and raise it above your head. Be proud of it. Turn it around and show it to somebody. This is the strength. This is the documentation of your salvation. It's the documentation of God's Word. Anybody proud of your Bible?
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Turn to the book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Amazing. These children this morning didn't need to be prompted with a verbal calling. What's amazing about that? We wouldn't realize it unless I pointed it out, but how many of us need to be prompted with a verbal calling? There is always going to be something that calls you one direction or another, but God's calling in you is consistent. He never changes. He wants you to be consistent with Him. And so today I want to talk about a calling that comes to us. It's a call to action. A call to action. Now, a call could be me just being able to verbalize a recognition. Todd Snyder. Now, I've called out his name, but I haven't called him to action. Todd, would you please stand up? Now I called him to action. He responded by standing up. Now a call would be me just saying, Todd, how are you doing? Doing good. Good. Hope you're having a good day. Have I called you to action? I didn't call him to action, but I did ask him something. And so I called him to a response. He had to respond to me. You may be seated, Todd. There's another action. I want you to understand a call to action. Turn to the person beside of you and tell them a call to action.
A call to action.
The other side now.
A call.
Is that person listening to you? I saw people tell people and they didn't even look up to see them. Tell the person beside of you a call to action.
A call to action.
Thank you. I called you to action and you did it. I appreciate it. You say, this is elementary. Sometimes we have to get elementary. I want you to understand, God makes it clear in His Word that we're all called to action. We're called to be workers for Him. We're not called to be spectators. We're called to be workers. I thought it was completely amusing. I was riding in the car yesterday evening on the way to somewhere, and I heard a soft drink advertisement for a certain soft drink. I won't say what it is, but they were advertising that it had special stuff in it to help gamers who are playing video games. A call to action. Not that it helped you be able to perform some physical feat, but it helped you sit there where you are in a sedentary position and get in your imaginary world and do something totally non-productive to anybody around you, and it was going to help you do it. Do you realize that we have gotten to the point to where a call to action anymore doesn't mean that we need to get up and do anything? We think we're active when we're not even doing something. And so what I want you to know again today is that God calls you to what?
Action.
He makes it clear in His Word that we're all called to be workers for Him. We're not called to be spectators. We're called to be workers. We're not called to be spectators. We're called to be workers. We're not called to be what?
Spectators.
We're not called to be spectators. This upcoming week, we're going to embark on our yearly mission event here at church called Stay at Home Mission. We call it stay-at-home mission from the passage of Scripture that we find in Acts chapter 1. So if you're in Acts chapter 1, I want to read verse 8 to you. It says, but ye shall receive power. You shall receive what?
Power.
Receive what?
Power.
After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and into Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You shall receive what?
Power.
power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Now, the person saying this is Jesus Christ himself. He went to the cross. He died on the cross. He was resurrected. He walked here on this earth. He ministered to his disciples, and he was about to ascend back into heaven to be with the Father, to sit on the right hand of God, where he is today, making intercession for us. And so before he left, this was the last thing that he did. You know what he did? He called his disciples to action. And he used this verse and told them that I'm going to actually give you power. You shall receive power to do the action that I want you to do. He was telling them that they're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit after he ascends into heaven. And through this filling of the Holy Spirit, they will be witnesses unto him. Now, a witness is someone who tells the truth about the event that's happened. They give an account of what's happened. A witness for Jesus, in his phrase, witnesses unto me, is someone who tells the truth or gives an account of Jesus, who he is and what he's done. You know, it's not hard for us, and I see the adults in here, it's not hard for us to strike up a conversation, and I watch it happen a lot of times. Somebody will say something about their child, and the next person can't wait to say something about their child. Let me give you an account of what's happened here. Let me give you an account of this. Let me give you an account of that. We're quick to give an account of something that we've seen or something that we want to be able to magnify. Jesus told them that the Holy Spirit, which is the presence of God that lives inside of every believer, will continue to speak to them even after he's physically ascended into heaven and is not present with them. He taught them this, and going back to John chapter 14, you can make a reference here. He told them this before he went to the cross. In verse 25 and 26 of John 14, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you." Like, while I'm here, I'm telling you these. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." So he's saying this power that you've got, this power that you're going to get when I leave, is because I'm going to see God the Father. We have to understand God is three parts. God the Father, tell me the rest. God the
Son.
And God the
Holy Spirit.
God the Father is God the Father of creation. God is. He's always been here. He always is. I don't understand that. You don't understand that. We can't, because we're not God. God the Son was the way that God showed himself to us. He manifests himself in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave himself in the form of a son, because we can't even comprehend God. We don't know what God looks like. We don't have an idea. We have these thoughts, but God the Son, well, we can put our mind around, hey, this is Jesus Christ. He walked on this earth. He might have looked like this. He said this. So we can grasp God the Son, because he's one of us. He came in the form of man. But he came and he died. He was buried. He never sinned while he walked on this earth. Blows my mind. He was buried. He resurrected. He rose from the grave. He did that as a sacrifice for our sins. Praise God.
Amen.
I sinned. He didn't. He was the only sacrifice for my sin. I couldn't die for my sin because I'm defiled. But I have to accept his sacrifice. So when I do that, and I come to God and I say, "God, my sin separates me from you. I need forgiveness." The only way that I can get forgiveness is to say, "Hey, listen, I want to use the sacrifice of Jesus, that sinless one that died for me because you love me. I know you watched your son be spit on, be called these names, be talked about in circles and whispered about, and you could even hear those people saying that. I watched them slap him in the face and mock him. I know, Father, you watched him be able to strap him across the back till the meat came out of his back, and then, Lord, they pushed him around and put a crown of thorns on. I know you watched him do that. Listen, I know you did that for me. I know you love me, and I know that my sin separates me from you. I want to accept that by belief. I believe Jesus died for me. Forgive me of my sins, Father. Forgive me of my sins, and listen, I want your salvation. I want to come to you. So I accept Jesus as my Savior. I'm going to live for you." At that moment in time, God the Spirit comes into you.
Amen.
God the Father, the creator of the world, he's in heaven. God the Son, God the Son, Jesus Christ, he's in heaven. The Bible tells us he sits on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. So, God the Holy Spirit, Spirit, the unseen, he lives in us. Amen. He empowers us. This is the power that Jesus was talking about. He said, you shall receive power. You're going to have me inside of you.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
And why am I going to give you me inside of you? Listen. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Here's the reason. And you shall be witnesses unto me. You received power because you were called to action. You received power because you were called to action. Now that's important. If you weren't called to action, you wouldn't need power. You say, well, that's elementary. Is it? Then why is it that we can accept that we've received power, but we don't go out and put it into action? How many people in here know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you know that you know that you know there's nothing in your mind you don't doubt, you know you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You realize when you did that, you received power.
Amen.
Are you using that power on a daily basis? Don't raise your hand. Well, I can look at my day last week, and I can look at the itinerary, and I can look at what I accomplished. A lot of the power that I use, that breath that I have, the ability to walk, the ability to think, I used it for a lot of things. If I were to be able to make a sheet and say, how much did I use of that power for God, and how much did I use to push my agenda forth and what I wanted and what I thought my life goal was, it'd probably scare you, wouldn't it? What are we using our power for? He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. And then he goes on to say, not just witnesses unto me, not just this proverbial, I'm going to give you power so all Christians have power and go out and do good things. No, he says, be witnesses to me. And then he was specific, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. So he was specific. He said, hey, I want you to be witnesses unto me. And a witness is somebody, as we said, that gives an account. A witness of Jesus is somebody that gives an account of Jesus. You shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem. Where was Jerusalem? It's where they were at. There's a lot of times we say, well, we want to go out and change the world. That's Miss Universe's first answer, isn't it, always? So what do you hope to do? Well, I would like to end world hunger. I would like to change the world. Well, you know the first thing you got to do? You need to focus on changing the friend group around you. You need to focus on changing the family around you. You need to focus on changing your coworkers before you go change the world. He said, your witness of me happens in Jerusalem. Where is your Jerusalem? Right where you're at. That's why we call our mission stay-at-home mission, because, yes, you say, Pastor Mike, you don't believe in foreign missions? Absolutely, I believe in foreign missions. We support foreign missions. That's to the ends of the earth. That's the last part of the verse. But listen, after you go to Jerusalem, then take a step out further, Judea. Take a step out further, Samaria. Then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Don't step over home base to get way out there.
Right.
Why? Because if home base isn't right, you're not going to be fruitful out there. He says, look around you. Look around you. I've put you in a mission field. Every Christian sitting in this room, you realize your mission field is different than the persons beside of you. There are different people groups that each one of you have. And do you know what you were called into action to do? Be witnesses of Jesus Christ in that mission field. What he has done. It's a call to action. Now, Jerusalem is representative of home. They were in Jerusalem at this particular time, but understand there's a significance to this story and even a significance to this week, you see. With all this being said, we need to realize that this proclamation made by Jesus in Acts 1, verse 8, was a call to all believers to go out in power of the Holy Spirit and represent him in our actions. This call to witness was actually a proclamation of Jesus. I could stand here this morning and make a proclamation to you. That proclamation could either be a statement or a call. It is great to see all of you here this morning. Is that a statement or a call? You know your pastor loves you, don't you? I care about you. That again is a statement. If you know I love you, I want you to tell me that you love me back. That's an action. You see, response is an action. I want you to think about something. There are many people that are called. Every message you hear calls you. Every song glorifying the Lord calls you. And so many of us look at those things as statements when we're required to answer a call of action. When you hear the word of God, you're called to action, not to just be able to listen. Does that make sense? Do you know what it's easy for us to fall into? To know what we know and rest firm in what we know, but not respond with action. If we don't respond with action, the conversation doesn't keep flowing. Now, these sound like elementary things, but I want you to understand that the calling from God is different than the calling from me. Webster says this, and I love this. You know, I know a lot of you, you'll say, well, hey, I know you always say, well, Webster says this. Well, I'm trying to define it. I want a sermon always to be something we relate to. And so I look to the English language and say, okay, here's how we look at this, but to define something. Webster calls a calling a spiritual summons. I like that. That's big, isn't it? A spiritual summons. A calling is a deep impulse to carry out some mission, a spiritual summons. And that's exactly, he nailed it. The Holy Spirit calls us to action. The Holy Spirit, it's a spiritual summons. You're here this morning. You were spiritually summoned to be here this morning. If you came, you showed action. There are some that are called, but they were called by other things. They were called by their own self-tiredness, maybe. Hard to understand. It's a tiredness that won't overwhelm the call to work, but it'll overwhelm the call to church. They're all calls to selfishness. You answered the call this morning. You responded with action. Guess what happens? The conversation continues. When you don't answer the call to action, then the call doesn't continue. I can tell you something. 37 years ago, the Lord clearly called me to action. Now, this was a different kind of calling. This was a call to minister, a call to pastor. That calling was clear. But do you realize that I didn't go to action? I didn't respond to the calling. Guess what happened to the conversation? It didn't continue. For years, it didn't continue. It didn't continue. And there reached a time in my life where everything in my life, my best plans, all the action that I put forth from those voices that were telling me, now you need to achieve this, and this is what will make you secure, and this is what will make you enjoy life, and this is what will give you peace, and this is what will give you happiness, and this is what you need to work toward, and this is how you need to get up and go after this, and this is what you need to do. And listen, the more you can do this, listen, there were years, 2 years there. Do you realize 2 years in my life that there was not a day of the week that I didn't go to work? In those 2 years, I took one Christmas Eve off because I knew it would make my mom happy. The rest of the time, I was following a voice that was calling me to accumulate and to get and to just get myself out of this hole and to go and go. And I listen to that calling. Do you realize there's a lot of things that will call you? But then when you get to a point to where all of your plans have fallen completely apart, and I'm going to reference Scars, the song. Amen. When your heart's cut wide open and you realize I have messed this up and I am lonely and alone and life is terrible and I couldn't count on this person and I couldn't count on this person and this is what I don't have and this is what I don't have and I thought my plan was going to get here and I've worked hard enough to do it and I've put a plan in place, and then when you get to that, guess what you're going to have to listen to? You go back and you have no choice but to say, God, I would like to call out to you and continue my conversation with you. And at that time, guess what he says? Hey, I've been right here waiting for you to call back.
Amen.
Thank you for the scars, right? I've been waiting for you to call back. Jesus' call was a call to action. But I want you to understand today that if you're a Christian in this room, a call to action is your second calling. You see, he calls you to go out and accomplish something to him, be witnesses of him. How are you witnesses? Your witnesses in your verbiage, your words, and your actions. But before that, you have to answer the initial calling. What is the initial calling? It sounds like this. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me.
Yes.
For I'm meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest for your soul.
Yes.
The Bible tells us, Jesus, so many times, he said, come and follow me. He said in Mark chapter 2, hey, I want to tell you why I came. This was the statement, the thesis statement of Jesus in a short verse. Why did you come? Did you come to do miracles? Did you come to do these things? Mark 2:17, I believe it is. He said, I came to call every sinner to repentance. Jesus came to call us. He was that physical man that walked on this earth and lived a sinless life. What was his purpose? Put his purpose in a nutshell. I came to call every sinner to repentance. That's huge. So do you realize that first call, the initial call for everybody, is a call to action? A call to action. Angie, come to me. You can get mad later. Y'all just needed to do it. Do I get to love her if she doesn't come?
No.
Do I get to show you I love her if she doesn't come?
No.
What did she do? She answered a call to action by simply what? Coming. Thank you, honey. Coming. God calls every one of us to receive his act of love. That's salvation in a nutshell. Come to me. It can't be made any more simple, can it? Come to me. I want to love you. Come to me. I gave everything for you. Come to me. I watched my son be persecuted, killed because I love you. Come to me. That's all you have to do. But in order to come, you got to leave something. You got to leave everything else that's calling you. Don't come to me and hang on to the other. I don't want you temporarily. Come to me. And I'll give you rest. That's the call to repentance. Jesus Christ hung on a cross, a bloody cross. And I think sometimes that blood that he began to bleed after the sun was about to go down, Imagine the blood baked on that cross, the reek of odor that was there, the humiliation that was there. And he looked out and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm still not going to sin. Why? Because one day I want to call old Mike to me. Now, I can't make him come, but I'm going to call him into action. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, Father God calls you. He says, come. I made it possible for you to come. You say, well, hey, it's possible for me to come to God anytime. It's not. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've come short of the glory of God. Tell me what we have. We've come short of the glory of God. Can I explain that little verse? We've come short of the glory of God means we can't step into God's presence, the glory of God. We've come short. He tells us to come the rest of the way through Jesus. What stops me from coming into the glory of God? I've sinned. I'm not righteous. No one is. We're blocked from God by our sin. And he says, through Jesus, you can come. Jesus said, I'm the way you come. I'm the truth. Listen. I'm the life. No man comes to the Father. No man what? But by me. Come. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's made a way for you to answer the initial call. He says, come. You say, what about these things I've done? You know, he doesn't care a thing about that. Anybody in here got a past? Guess what God said? He said, I'll put your past behind you. It's called grace. He said, if you ask me to forgive your sins, I'll put them as far as the east is from the west. I'll remember them no more against you. Do we deserve that? No, that's grace. He says, come. I don't care what you've done, but I care what you do today. He says, come. Mark chapter 8. Verse 34, when he had called the people unto him. This is, you can turn here, but I'm going through these. Just write them down. When he called the people unto him, his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, Jesus calls us to come initially. I want you to be saved. I want you to be born again. You must be born again. That's what he said in John chapter 3. You can't just know about God. You've got to die to your old self and say, God, I want to accept your salvation through Jesus. But he doesn't just say, come. Jesus says, come and follow me. Jesus isn't saying, hey, I'm going to wait right here on you, Mike. No, listen, Mike, come and then come this way. Now get this, he's not saying just come, hey, I've showed up. No, showed up, come, and then there's an action. Come and what? This is good. A lot of Christians are in the mindset that Jesus just says, come. I've showed up. This happened to me. I made a decision in 19, whatever it is, and I came to Christ, right? Well, did you follow after you came? Following's the action. Not come, come and follow me. Now we're going to get into Christian's house, right? You said, I came. Good, good. That was your call to action to come. That got you right here. Now, next action, did you follow? But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. A witness is somebody that is doing an action, either with their words or with their actions. Do you know that Jesus, throughout his word, he never quits letting us know that we need to come? You could turn to the last chapter in the Bible. Do you know that you're still going to be reading when you get to verse 17? The Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that hungereth, that heareth, come. Let him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. These are clear callings of God. But what happens is we're living in a world where everything else in the world is calling us. Our own vanity is calling us. Our own success is calling us. Our own aspirations are calling us. The things that we think we want are calling us. How we want people to see us are calling us. Money is calling us. Materialism is calling us. You say, well, we need all those things to survive. In case you haven't mattered, God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Store not up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but store for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves break through and steal. He goes on to say, listen, I feed the birds of the air. I take care of them. They build no barns, yet I feed them every day. Glory to God. I clothe the grass of the field with flowers more beautiful than any clothing you could have, and they don't toil or spin or make a thing. He says, don't you know that I know the numbers of your hair, that they're numbered? I take care of every bird. I know when they fall. Are you not much more important than them? He said, trust in me. You cannot serve two masters. Either you're going to be called to action to the master of this world, which saves yourself, or you're going to come to action from me. It's a call to action. You said, I don't see how he can take care of me without me putting all this action into everything but him. Right. He says you lack faith then. You'll never see it until you put yourself in his hands. He doesn't tell you to quit work and sit in your house and twiddle your thumbs. He just says, I called you to action for me, to be a witness for me. No matter what you have, and I'll bear testimony to this, no matter what you chase in this world that you think is going to give you satisfaction or security, whether it's money, whether it's investments, whether it's material things, whether it's relationships, no matter what you chase, you will be empty, my friend. You will find no peace in that if you're a child of God, because he calls you to action to be a witness for him first. Now, when will you find it? When you do the first action. The first thing he calls you in your day to do is greet him. The first thing he calls you in your day to do is to recognize him. The first thing he calls you to action in your day to do is to talk to him, to know God. Listen, you direct my path, but how many days have I got up with something in my mind to the voices calling me and answered the call of immediacy somewhere else and never considered what his call was? Anybody? Every person has an opportunity to answer this call by accepting the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We know this call has to be answered first. And how is it answered? It's answered with a call. What do you mean? A call back. You get somebody's voicemail. Anybody ever got somebody's voicemail? Now, did you call them? Yes. Is that clear? You called them?
Yes.
Well, how was the conversation? You don't get the conversation until they what?
Yes.
Call back. Romans 10, verse 13. You know what Jesus said? He said, there's a time for you to call. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Right? He said in verses, the verses preceding, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, after I've told you that, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. But you don't understand, I've done this. Whosoever. You don't understand. God calls every person. Jesus said, I came to call all sinners to repentance.
That's right.
Repentance means change. But it requires action, a call to action. Up here, guys. A call to action. Listen to his call to action. Get this in your mind. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is Jesus. He's personifying him. Sounds like I'm beating the door down, doesn't it? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. How many people before you got saved sat and listened to a sermon and your heart started doing flip-flops in there? You realized, hey, listen, I need to do something. I need to act. I need to respond. It happened to anybody out here?
Yes.
That's a knock. That's a stirring knock. Would it make you jump up out of your seat? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. Well, if he's knocking, that means he's knocking. But if you hear his voice, that means he's what? He's calling. Come to me. Come open the door. If any man hear my voice and open the door, here's the promise. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. We're going to have dinner together is what he's saying. Glory to God. We have to answer his call with a call to action. I realize today you're sitting here and you may have people sitting around you and you say, I don't know that I've ever been saved. I know that I've heard about it. I've heard preachers like you talk about it. I've heard other people talk about it. And I feel like I'm a pretty good person. I know God, but I don't know there's ever been a time in my life when I've come to God and I said, God, hey, listen, forgive me of my sins. I want to accept Jesus. I confess that I'm a sinner and I believe Jesus died for me. If there's never been that time, he's calling you because he says it requires you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. He's calling you. And do you realize that there's things inside of you that will call you to stay in your seat when this invitation comes? Don't go up there and talk to him. This is something that you can do. I'm going to invite you at the end of this service to come and let's pray together to make sure you know you can be saved. There'll be another voice that calls you that says, this person's going to look at you. This person's going to think of you. There's competing voices all the time calling you. But he calls you, and it's a call to action. He only recognizes a call to action if you come to him. So if you've answered that call, the Holy Spirit's come into you. Do you realize that he will continually call you into action from that point to be a witness to him? He will empower you to witness with the words and actions. Our life as a Christian consists of walking through life as witnesses of Jesus Christ and Father God, doing what he calls us to do. What does Jesus call us to do? Well, he calls us first to follow him. He calls us to serve him, which is to work for him. Every person who's accepted God's calling to be saved is called into action for him. Remember our definition. It's a spiritual summons. A spiritual summons. It may be a call to verbally witness for him, or it may be a call to physically do something to serve that represents him, but a calling from God is a call to action. You know, I talk about this the week before stay at home. You realize there's going to be somebody that's using a shovel all week long, spreading mulch. There's going to be somebody painting something. There's going to be somebody washing a fence. There's somebody going to be building something. You say, that has nothing to do with what God wants us to do. Oh, no. It's a call to action. You're serving. Any call to serve is a call to action. Why? You're representing unselfishness. You're representing humility. You're representing, I'm doing this above something that I could be doing. Listen, I could be doing 100 things at home, but I'm not. I'm doing something for somebody else. Guess what? God sees that you responded to a call to action. He'll make sure that not only do you get that thing done at home, it'll be done better than you would have done it. He said, I'll do all things. I'll give all things to you. Why? Because you answered my call with a call to action. What does Jesus call us to do? He calls us to live a life that represents him by our actions. You can reference these verses. I just quote them to you, but the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:7, it says, for God hath not called you to uncleanliness, but to holiness. Do you realize that a Christian's call is a call to holiness? What does that mean? That means it matters how you live. It doesn't mean you can't mess up, but it matters how you live, how you represent him. It matters your speech around people, the verbiage you use, the way that you talk, the slang you use, how you represent yourself, how you represent somebody, where you go, what you participate in, the posts you put out here that represent you, all of that matters. Why? He says he didn't call you to uncleanness. He called you to holiness. Why? Because God is holy. He tells us, hey, listen, I called you. I'm holy. Be ye holy. He said, I don't do a couple of things that my friends do, and they try to say I'm holier. I'm trying to live holier than thou. Well, I got an answer for that. You just tell them that you're trying to live holy, period. That you fail, but you're trying to live holy because your father told you to live that way. 2 Timothy chapter 1, The Bible tells us in verse 7 through 9, as Paul's telling Timothy this, he ends up in verse 9 and talking about the Lord. It says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Meaning, he didn't call us just to go out here and make a name for ourselves. He called us to make a name for him. I'll give you a little clue. Do you realize the cure for every marriage, the cure for every marriage problem, is for them to concentrate on their call to action by God? Their call to action by God, not their call to action for each other. Because if you answer the call to action by God, then he'll keep speaking to you how you can minister to action for each other. The key to every parent-child relationship is answering the call to action by God, not the call to action by what you think should happen. He tells parents where they need to have their child and how they need to have them in the sound of the word and how they need to represent it at home. That's the answer to every parent-child relationship. God's God. He made you. He put you together. He can cure it, but you got to put him in the middle of it. Your call to action has to include him. There's something that starts in our mind that's unspoken that says, hey, here's what I'll do. Famous statement, right? Hey, here's what I'll do. If it doesn't include getting back right with God first, you're chasing something down a wrong path. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20, we're told to stay focused on our calling, to be a witness to God. It says, let every man abide in the same calling whereas he was called. That means don't just answer the call, stay with it. Be consistent in answering the call. Philippians 3, 4, I love what Paul said. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Amen. What do you mean the high calling? What's the calling higher than these other things in the world that are calling us? We're called to represent our witness of Jesus. And Jesus lived his entire life fulfilling his calling by God the Father to live an exemplary life and to continually give himself to others. Jesus made our calling possible because he carried out his calling. You ever thought about that? He made our calling possible by him carrying out his calling. That's why he was saying in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. The Holy Ghost is going to help you fulfill your calling. 1 Peter 2:21, Peter says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. We wore the bracelets that said, what would Jesus do? You say, well, that was great. It's halfway great. Oh, you're going to be critical. WWJD, I love the bracelet. And let you think, what would Jesus do? But you know what I see as a pastor? You know what I see as a Christian who's messed up? There's a lot of people that are well aware what Jesus would do. I think it should be DW. Do what Jesus did. Not what would Jesus do? Do what Jesus did. DWJD. Do what Jesus did. He's not calling you just to know what he did. Of course you need to know it. But he's calling you into what? Somebody tell me. Calling you to what? He said, do what he did. What did he do? He lived a life of unselfishness. He lived a life of devotion to God the Father. Do what he did. Not just know what he did, do what he did. Don't get mad at me if you're wearing a bracelet. Come out with some new bracelets. I want to end with a passage here that we've read before. I'll tell you, just in preparing, you know, God took me down a road and gave me so many different verses of Scripture that I have another sermon. I didn't know even which way to go today to preach it. I know there's going to be a time to preach it. But it stemmed from Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 4. So I want to read this together. Ephesians 4, 1 through 4. Paul makes this statement. Tell me when you have it. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, it means I beg you, to walk worthy of the what? of the vocation wherewith ye are what?
Called.
Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your what? And here's how you do it. Listen, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Listen, that means with humbleness, with gentleness. Now, listen, that's different than what we're being told today. Hey, listen, go and grab whatever you want out of life and step on whoever is in your way. The world's calling us a different way. It's always going to call you in selfishness. The Lord's always going to call you in humility. I think sometimes what a blessing it is to see people who can't go, who can't do, and I even get to see a lot of people who can't think anymore. You know, you're caregiving for some of those people. You know some of those people physically. They can't. Mentally, they can't. God knows their limitations, and so He's not going to call them for something they can't do. But do you ever consider the privilege to be able to answer a call to action? To have the physical capability and the mental capability to answer a call of action. He's given us so much. You say, well, the one thing that He hasn't given me is time to do it. Yes, He has. That's the first thing He gave you. But where your time goes is where you're answering your call to action. He says in Ephesians 4, I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. Our vocation is our occupation. How many people in here have an occupation? Raise your hand. That's your vocation. We're called into being a witness for the Lord. That's what this whole message has been about. Do you know what that is? That is our vocation. It is our occupation. It's our primary occupation. This is what we're called to work the hardest at achieving. Our occupation in life, our job, your job should not overshadow your occupation as a child of God who is living out our witness wherever we're working. A child of God who is living out our witness wherever we're working. Do you need to work? Yes, go to work. But that's not your vocation. That's your temporary vocation. Oh, we struggle with it. What job should I take? Where should I go? What should I do? Is this going to pay enough? Does this give me benefits? Understand, we're missing the big point. We all have temporary jobs while we're in this world. Go back to some of these people that I told you that can't work anymore, can't think anymore. That job doesn't matter at all. The only vocation that's important is the call to action they answered for the Lord. That's the eternal vocation. That vocation gets you past this earth. It doesn't matter whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, or an Indian chief. It doesn't matter what you're called to do. You're called to your vocation, but that's your vocation while you're fulfilling your vocation as a child of God. If you stop the first vocation, your calling by God, to put all your action into the second one, guess what? You won't answer the first calling. There won't be that blessing of God that's upon you for answering that calling. There won't be that continual conversation that He has in response to you. Listen, I learned it the hard way. Anybody else in here want to bear witness of that so those that haven't went through it can see? Anybody want to bear witness of that? We have to have a show of action in our calling. A call to action from God is not a temporary calling, like an occupation that we have here in this earth. Your occupation on this earth right here could change tomorrow. Tomorrow. I'm in a place where I see people's lives change on a dime and we deal with the unexpected that you never thought. But when you answer the call of God, there's no changing. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's a promise. That's consistency. That can never go away. You can never lose that tomorrow. It can never change tomorrow. He's our safe place. That's why he says he's our rock. He's unchanging. He's the same yesterday. Why in the world would we want to grab onto the temporary and leave the eternal? You say, well, I'm trying to make something here. Listen, he said, I'm going to give you an inheritance that never fades away. Do we believe it? A call to action requires a response of action. Paul said in Acts 20, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said it's more blessed to give than receive. That was Paul saying. He says, yes, get out here and work. It doesn't matter whether you're digging a ditch for God. It doesn't matter whether you're cleaning a toilet for God. It doesn't matter whether you're taking food for somebody for God. It doesn't matter whether you're praying for somebody for God. But be a witness for God. He gave you power to do it. Yes. It's a call to action. Will you answer his call? I have to tell you this in closing. A couple of places in the Bible, we started talking about the Spirit, how the Spirit is the one that gives us these orders. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it's a short little verse. You know what it says? Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. You go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and you know what it says? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. And then Ephesians 4, 30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you realize it's the Spirit that calls you into action, Christian? Do you realize when you don't respond to that call, you quench the Holy Spirit? What does quench mean? It means you put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. What does grieve mean? It means you break the heart of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you didn't answer the call. It wasn't a call to just say, hey. It was a call that says, come, follow, and act. Father God, I love you and I praise you. And I thank you for your time, Lord, that you give us this morning. Lord, continue to speak when I'm through. I pray, God, that this morning people will respond to your call to action. They'll come and talk to you, Lord. They'll make it right with you. If there are people that are here or people listening today who have never responded to that initial call, or they've never had that prayer of confessing their sins and asking you to save them and believing on the salvation through Jesus, give them a boldness today, Lord. Let them not hear the voice that tells them to stay in their seat. Let them hear the voice that tells them to come and pray and ask for that salvation. I pray you save souls today. Let that knock be so loud and clear. And I pray, God, today for every person in this room who has answered that, I pray, God, that they respond today with a call to action, with a commitment to you. I pray for commitments all over this room as your children say to you, here I am. I'm ready for action. Lord, let them feel the peace that brings them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.